It's good to see everybody again. Obviously, a heartbreaking loss on Sunday. Was really proud of the way our guys fought and scratched and clawed till the end there. You know, it was great to go down and tie the game up and, you know, punch the ball in and then get the two-point conversion. You know, I showed a lot of guts by our guys and was really proud of the way they competed. You know, as a coaching staff, we need to do a better job of finding ways to get our guys in the end zone. And, you know, that's a big challenge for us this week, you know, to find ways to get our guys in the end zone. And we've been snake-bitten, I think, a little bit down there at times with penalties, you know, with some other things, some unforced errors, you know, some bad play calls by me. So it's been a myriad of a lot of things, and we need to find a way to get the ball in the end zone, because even if you score on one of those, the game doesn't come to that. You know, it just doesn't come to that, and we need to do a better job of getting the ball. I love Travis Coons, but we're seeing him a little bit too much at the end of our red zone drives. You know, I'm most proud of our backs and our offensive line. I really am. I thought it was the most physical we played up front. I thought our backs ran as hard as they've run all year. I thought their tracks were really good in the outside and inside zone and on some of the power schemes that we ran. So I was really, really pleased to see that our run game, you know, average, I think it was 4.8 yards a rush. So, you know, that was definitely a plus. So we have our hands full this weekend. Coach Harbaugh and Coach Pease do a fantastic job with the Ravens defense, and we're excited to go out and compete and, you know, try to win a game on the road here in the division and get rolling.
Especially Duke Johnson, he had to really be. I mean, you saw this coming, but nine catches—that would be pretty pleasing.
Yeah, you know, I think it came to fruition how we envisioned Duke's role. You know, and to say every week that he's going to have nine catches—I mean, every game's different. But it was really good to see him. I think he's finally back 100% and trusting to cut it loose a little bit in terms of running, hitting the hole, and like I said a couple weeks ago. Because he missed so much time early on, I think he's adjusting to the speed of the game.
You know, the fact that you were able to split him out so much, how is he as a route runner, and how valuable is it that you can put him out there and identify defenses and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know me, I love guys that can do a lot of jobs. And, you know, skilled players that can line up in the backfield on first and second down, and then you what we call explode or bomb, you know, we have a bunch of different shifts to get him out there. It's so valuable. And for... You know, I haven't done a lot of studying on the running backs in this league, but I wouldn't think there's a lot of running backs in this league that could make that catch that he made over his shoulder. Not only to beat a linebacker with speed, but to get his feet down. I mean, you saw the end of that play. That was a toe tap on the back of the end zone. There aren't a lot of guys out there, to me, that can make that play that Duke made. So it was awesome to see him make that.
We brought up the red zone before. As a play caller, what are some keys to being able to break through down there?
Well, everything, to me... And that's a great question, is advancement. You look for advancement on every play. Now, we have a red zone mindset that we teach our quarterbacks where the first thing we talk about is touchdown, checkdown. When we throw the football down there, we have plays designed to get a touchdown. But if it's not there, then there's a place for the quarterback to check the ball down. So everything to me is about advancement. You know, I think on the drives you've seen us stall in the red zone. Like last week we had the you know, a pass for no yards. You know, we had the ball out in the flat. That's not, obviously not advancement. So we need to do a better job of that. I need to do a better job of calling things for the quarterback to get completions down there. And, you know, we can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot. We've had some penalties down there that are unforced errors that are on us.
Is it tougher to do with three short receivers as opposed to just being able to say, okay, we're going to throw a jump ball to whoever?
You know, another good question. I think it's easy to say. To me, offensively, there's plenty of plays. There's always plays to get guys the ball. And it's on us to get those plays. And for us to say that because we don't have a taller receiver, I'm not gonna make that excuse or go down that road. There's always a bunch of plays to get guys the football.
Patton was in here earlier and mentioned that there have been times, I think maybe when you guys had some injuries, that you moved Gilbert over to receiver every once in a while, and when you see what he can do with the ball in his hands, like last week, does it make you wonder a little bit how you might be able to use him?
You know, I've gotten to know Justin in my time here, not great. you know, I know he's working really, really hard on the defensive side of the ball. To me, speed is not an issue with our receivers, you know, and that to me, that's not an issue. But that's definitely something, I mean, we've talked about and are going to explore.
What do you think, Mike, go on,
Mike. Mike had said earlier in the week that it's really valuable to have a back who can run between the tackles and also can stay on the field on third down. Do you have a sense yet how durable Duke Johnson is and how much he can play in a game on the plays?
Yeah, I have a feeling. I don't want to say there's an exact number of plays that we're going to give him a pitch count on. But, I mean, to me, I think I really like what we did last week in terms of the Crow and Duke got about an even amount of snaps. Now, I would say that we did more things with Duke, obviously, in terms of splitting him out and those things. But to me, when you have a guy like Duke that every time you put him on the field, you're not using him as a receiver. You are using him as a running back, too. That even becomes a more viable option. So, but to say we have a certain number of plays for Duke, we have that number in mind. But it's not like it's 25 or 30. I mean, Duke, I think, is going to be a pretty durable guy. He just had a bad break early with a hamstring.
I was going to ask you, were you pleased with the effort Dwayne Bowe showed on that only throw to him last week?
Yeah, it was tough coverage. It was. We're running a Saturn route, which is a 12-yard fade stop. And, you know, I went back in slow-mode the play. I thought the corner made a really nice play getting his hand in there, you know, and holding his arm down. So the effort, I thought, was there with that play. It was just – I thought it was pretty good defense.
And then was that his only target, I think? How come he wasn't
– it's just with the – you know, Dwayne's been a little bit behind with the injury, and, you know, just that's the way the plan dictated it that week.
Hey, with Josh McCown, is that how you kind of envision him playing, you know, standing in the pocket, making a bunch of throws, and particularly the – completion percentage seemed all high.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, is that what you envisioned when you brought him here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we hold high standards not only for Josh but for all our quarterbacks. And it's about decision-making, timing, and accuracy. Those are the three things that we want our quarterbacks to play with. And they're not going to be perfect all the time, but we want them to be pretty darn close to perfect as we can get. So, absolutely, that's how I envision Josh playing.
Enforce that for you over these past couple of games, just what a tough guy
he is. He's a legit tough guy. Absolutely, he's a legit tough guy. I mean, when he we missed a, we call it 5-0 call up front, the one we threw to Andrew Hawkins down the San Diego sideline. So we had a defender coming free off the edge, and for him to stand in there and throw the shallow return to Andrew like that with a guy in his face and get, I mean, he got, that was a legit hit. That was a big-time legit hit. And for him to stand in there like that and stay in there, luckily they had a guy down on that play because, you know, his shoulder got bruised up pretty good, his left shoulder. Nothing to where he would need to come out of the game, but, I mean, he took a shot on it. And he went right back in there and did a great job.
Is it fair to say that your unit has started slowly each of the last two games outside of the aspect of maybe probing the defense to see what's going to be there? Have these been slow starts and do you need to do something about it?
Yeah, we've definitely started slower than I wanted to. You know, part of the reason we started out slow last week was, you know, was because of me. I gave the quarterback we were supposed to run the ball there on it was a run-pass option on second and one. And I need to do a better job of taking the thinking out of the quarterback and just running the ball and getting the first down and getting us going. So, yeah, it, you know, all that stuff that you see out there early on, I need to do a little bit better job with the quarterback and taking some of the decisions out of his head.
You're talking about Josh being tough. Also, last week, his right hand looked like a balloon. Were you surprised he was able to play as well as he did, pushing through that?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, yes, the fact that his hand was a balloon. But in 2007, Josh played with a compound fracture in his left hand. For us, he was out there catching a ball, and he caught it wrong the week of the game. And I think we were actually playing the Browns. We may have been playing the Browns. I forget. And he had a compound fracture in his finger, and he played that week with a glove and a splint. So Josh's toughness doesn't surprise me one bit. But, yeah, I mean, his hand was blown up pretty good.
It's mentioned it a couple times, but how tough is that Ravens front seven to run against? And what kind of a challenge is that for you guys?
It's going to be a great challenge, a great challenge. Very different defense than I think we played last week. These guys are stout guys. I mean, they're Upshaw's a big man. Those backers are big people. The secondary are big people. So it's going to be a challenge for us to move those guys. And, you know, we're going to do, hopefully as good a job as we did last week running the football. And I feel like I like our plan against these guys.
First time in a long time that Browns have faced a defense with Nada, Lewis, Reed, Suggs. I mean, you got it pretty easy, don't you?
You know, let me tell you, the guys, the Baltimore Ravens defense, believe me, is disciplined a group and well-coached a group as we'll see all year.
Okay.